Your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO here. In the first part, we're going to talk about the upcoming Plane, Fire, and EMS three-day celebration. In the studio with us today, Dan Herfel and John Rulin to talk about all the great things going on in the village of Plane. So, Danny, let's look at this weekend. The forecast, first of all, sounds pretty good for you guys.
Yes, it does. Just a little bit of rain to get through tomorrow, hopefully, and that's it.
That's how just how you ordered it, right?
I talked to Mother Nature, and we had a heart to heart.
Well, it was really good for Kaz and for Boaz this week, so Plane is due then.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell me, it looks like you've got a full weekend of things going on here.
Yeah, everything kicks off on Friday afternoon, the baseball tournament. It's going to be a 12 and under tournament this year. There's eight teams going to play in that, and kicks off Friday night, and that'll go all day Saturday and then into Sunday. And then, of course, we have all the live music. Friday night will be the High Mileage Band, and then Sean Shell on Saturday afternoon, he'll bring some of his music, and then the big band Cherry Pie on Saturday night, and then Donnie Razek's going to play after the parade on Sunday.
Well, that's some really good music there, isn't it?
Yeah, they all draw a good crowd, and they all have really good tunes.
They do. I was thinking about Cherry Pie. Now, they've been at your festival before. They must be back by popular demand.
Yes, this is actually their third year back, and they beg to keep coming back. Uh-huh. So,
kind of an 80s, 90s kind of feel there. And
yeah, just good music.
Uh-huh. So get everybody out on the dance floor, even John, maybe?
Yeah.
Always that possibility.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So then High Mileage draw as well on Friday night, and Donnie Razek, too. So you've got some great local and regional favorites.
Yes, very much.
And youth baseball, that always draws moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, and doesn't it?
That age group is really fun to watch, and they're really doing good this year, and they're just fun.
Do you have teams from quite a ways away coming in?
Yeah, we have. Right now it's the Southwest Coyotes, and then Wisconsin Heights, Lancaster, Dodgeville, Barneveld, and then there's two teams coming from La Crosse.
All right. Should be some really good action then.
Well, it'll keep the field busy all weekend.
Yeah, and your ballpark stays busy almost every day, doesn't it, in
yes.
the summertime?
Sure. Yeah, John puts in a lot of work keeping it going.
Yes, he does. John, good morning. This is a big undertaking for the village of Plane, isn't it?
Yeah, like Danny said, the talk with Mother Nature hopefully works out. And I remember last year with our three-day, the Friday night, you know, we had a bad storm move in, but that was kind of a front coming through, and then it turned out to be a beautiful weekend. And it's been a struggle like it has been everywhere else this year with as much rain as we've gotten and trying to keep our park cleaned up and the town cleaned up. It's been tough, but it's getting better now. And like you said, the weather looks good for this weekend, and we'll get in there. The guys are starting to prep today. There's some punch list stuff I put together, and so it should be good by the time the Friday rolls around, and hopefully have a good weekend.
I was at your park a few times for baseball this summer, and one of the times, not the time it rained, but I was there another time, and it was a little squishy as you walked across things there at the park. Has that dried up a little bit?
Yeah, it's getting better. Of course, last night's rain didn't really help out the situation, but it's getting firmer. It's been tough, but you know, the park's in a marsh, and you know, we try putting drain tile in here and there, trying to fix those problems, but sometimes you just got to give in to it being a wet year. So last year, we didn't have to worry about that. No ball games were canceled. You know, everything went according to plan. This year was a big struggle. You know, you didn't have enough field dry to try to get the fields equipped to play on, but we got through it. So, I mean, there was only a few makeup games, so things have gotten better, so.
Can you tell us about Fire and EMS in Plane? And I would imagine just about every member is going to be doing something this weekend for the festival, aren't they?
Yeah, so doing the fire chief thing, you know, the 3 days have been going on for a lot of years. I've been on the department 31 years, and it's been going on since then. And prior to that, you know, I believe it was like in the late 80s, early 90s, the American Legion was a part of it. They helped out, and they used to have it behind the fire station. Through the years, the park got built up better. It changed around. And then, you know, we decided, the Fire and EMS decided to go on their own. And it's been going ever since. We've had great people running it through the years, and as far as the fire and EMS side, you know, we had our 100 year in 2016. That was cool. Had a good turnout. Being a volunteer fire department, along with volunteer EMS, you know, to get the help, especially for 3 days, you know, it's pretty cool for a small, you know, small department. We have about 32, 34 guys on fire side, and I think 20 some on the EMS side. So we're fortunate on that part. And for the most part, everybody puts their time in and works their shifts, and some stick around and help out where needed, and it makes hopefully Danny's life easier. So it's been good, and hopefully we can keep doing it for years to come.
Do you look at this as a fundraiser, John?
So a little history on that. So we about lost the 3 day in the late 90s because we had a couple guys that did it for years, and one guy passed away, unfortunately, and the other guy was just getting wore out from it. And it dropped down to a 2 day event, and that's when we kind of, myself and a friend of mine got kind of forced into, you know, doing it because we didn't want to see it go because of the history and the tradition. So we took over and I did it. I ended up, I think, running for 20 some years and didn't think anything of it. And when we decided to take over, it was to do it. It wasn't really a fundraiser. It was to give back to the community, show appreciation to the community, you know, doing all of this work just to say, hey, come say hi, you know, and come hang out with us. So it's been going well since then. And when I stepped aside, you know, a few years ago, I was happy with the ones that took it over. So I feel the community really doesn't have much that goes on throughout the year. And this is like a big, you know, that's why it's our celebration. You know, to celebrate Plain and you know, in our local districts or townships and whatever. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's not a cheap endeavor to hire these bands and everything that goes into it, Dan.
No, it's not. And, at the end of the thing, yeah, it's, we do raise a little bit of money, and that all goes back to the fire and EMS departments. It takes a lot, and it's a lot to put together. But at the end of it, when the park's full of people and everybody's just talking, it's a great feeling.
No doubt. Tell me about the parade then on Sunday.
So the parade will be at 11 o'clock on Sunday. If you have anything you want to put into it, show up at the church and get registered. And the longer the parade, the better. It seems to always draw a really good showing, and I appreciate everyone that comes and puts something through it.
Yeah, you really have, and I've been able to witness it a few times, you really have a good array of just a little bit of everything, don't you?
Yeah, there's, everything from the bands to whatever, you know, all the big trucks that come through, everything. It's just fun to see.
Do you have the alumni band? Are they in it again this year, or River Valley Band?
I don't know.
You don't know specifically as far as entries, but they have been in the past?
Yes.
Sure. And a couple of times you had UW Band coming through there as well. So.
Yeah, they're not coming this year, but.
Big tradition, though.
Right.
Absolutely. Lots of antique tractors and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, who doesn't like tractors, old cars, and fire trucks?
Right, exactly.
Big trucks.
We'll have a little bit of that, too. So there's no pre-registration for the parade, then, in other words, Dan?
No, you can pre-register if you want, but just show up that morning. You know, try to get there by 10 or so. It could be a little bit hairy with road construction, trying to get into town, but as far as the parade route, it'll be unaffected. So anyone coming to watch the parade route's going to be in the same spot.
Let's talk about that construction a little bit, John. Highway 23 remains closed this weekend then?
Yeah, so to represent the village side of things, Highway 23 is closed for the reconstruction, the road reconstruction, bridge reconstruction, and then in the village itself, they're replacing a lot of crosswalks, kind of the same as what they're doing in Spring Green currently, and we're putting in some new storm sewer across the road also, and unfortunately with the weather, things got just thrown off, and now they decided to come to town this last week, so the town kind of looks like a war zone now, but Weather permitting, they're hoping to get a lot of curb and gutter, the storm sewer stuff in this week. By the time Friday rolls around, they want to pull all the barricades and everything back tight because they're well aware of our parking situation. And they're trying to help us out with everything. They're well aware of what's going on, and we'll just see how things play out. But yeah, so and we'll put probably something on Facebook, but you know, we kind of told everybody, if you're coming from Spring Green, to take Big Hollow Road off 14 to County G to County B, and that'll bring you right in. So it's not a big inconvenience. You can't really drive 23. You can, but it's 45 mile an hour speed limit currently. And if you try to go during the week, there's a lot of flagging operations going on.
Basically, you can go B on either side of plane, though, coming in.
You can get the plane. There's no problem. You can get here. And if you're coming from the north, you can go up double G to G and back down to N. So it's not, you know, I've done it a few times. It's not that many miles out of the way, not that many minutes out of the way. Plus, you're being safer then.
The reconstruction on Highway 23 and then your curb and gutter, did it just so happen that it was the same year? Or did you just kind of plan it knowing that you were going to have 23 closed for the most part this year?
So that curb and gutter and everything is all incorporated in this DOT project.
Oh.
It's part of it. We decided to piggyback our storm sewer work on with them because they would have the roads closed anyways. But we did three blocks in our village by our fire station. It's all brand new now. So fortunately, with the early spring, we were able to get those streets taken care of. We knew about the reconstruction of Highway 23 probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But everything kept getting pushed off. Well, we kept pushing our street work off. And then we finally just said, well, we got to get our street work done. We do a plan. Every so many years, we do a street. Well, it just so happened that Highway 23 fell in place with our street work that we did in town. And we're like, well, it is what it is. So at least next year will be very nice. Mm-hmm. It'll be very nice and clean around town. So just, it's inconvenience to make it. You know, there's always an inconvenience before it gets better. So
I think everyone understands, though.
Yeah, the business owners are good. You know, they've been really good about it, and we appreciate that.
Talk about the area that Plain Fire and EMS serves. So is it a pretty wide area?
Yeah, so we serve 166 square miles. We service town of Franklin, town of Troy, town of Honey Creek, town of Bear Creek. Plus the village of Plain. Some of those we take a certain percentage of service area. So yes, we travel some pretty good distances, and the EMS, they go a little bit farther because with Hill Point being first responders and Loganville being first responders, Plain heads, our ambulance will go out farther into the Hill Point area. So yes.
And transport to primarily Sauk Prairie then?
Well, our ambulance will end up Richland Center, Reedsburg, Sauk, mm-hmm. or the trips, they'll end up to Dodgeville here and there, but sometimes to Madison. And unfortunately, the EMS have been a little busy this year, but they got a good staff, so they're doing well.
A few years ago at the parade, you got called out during the parade too, didn't you?
Yeah, there was a call for a house fire at our 100-year. From our friend that lived in Plain, doesn't live there here anymore in Plain. I don't know why he did it, but yeah, so we had a little bit of excitement. So people got to see us respond out of town.
Yeah. I thought it was like, oh, this is a nice show here. These guys are doing this for a show, but it really was a call.
So. Yeah, not at all.
It does happen.
Yes, exactly. We've had calls. We've had accidents before at our celebration, and it's nice because our significant others have stepped in to take over if we do get called out. So it's very nice. Last year, I think we had a call during our chicken barbecue and during the parade, and Spring Green took the call for us because it was towards their direction, and it would have just been a nightmare trying to get out of town then. So we try to plan just in case something would happen and
work together.
First time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we do mutual aid, all of us, so it's nice.
That's wonderful. Everyone loves a chicken barbecue, Danny.
Yeah, chicken barbecue is on Sunday after the parade. Definitely come down the park and have a big chunk of chicken. And, it's same meal again this year as last year. It'd be the half a chicken and baked potato baked beans, cookie, bread. And yeah, and if you choose that you want to just get it and go home, we're going to do the drive-thru again down on Bridge Road. So go down there and jump in line after the parade if you choose.
Okay, so drive-thru or you can eat in person as well.
Yep. So. And then after that, of course, Donnie Razak will pick up. And then we have Kinchy's pedal pull. That'll be at 1 o'clock, and then some fire truck rides from 3 to 4 on Sunday.
Boy, it sounds like a lot of stuff there. I know you have the big shelter there, too, where the music and everything is going to take place under there. So.
Yep, yeah, we have the big shelter, and then we'll have two more tents put up this year. Just mainly helps with the ball teams and having shade for them and stuff. So, yeah, plenty of seating areas and just good place to sit and listen to music.
So what's your favorite part of the weekend, Danny?
I don't really have a favorite, but it is on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening when the park is just packed full. That's what excites me. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy seeing everyone having a good time.
Yeah. What's the population of Plain?
It's about 780.
So it
give or take. So
probably doubles, triples, quadruples on the weekend, I would say.
At least doubles.
At least doubles.
Yeah, exactly.
There'll be a lot of folks there enjoying it. I know, as they always do. A lot of people, I'm guessing, come back that live outside the area for this weekend, don't they?
Yeah, it's like class reunions, family reunions of people, you know, they always came to Plain. So that's what I mean. There's a lot of tradition to having our celebration. So I mean, it is nice, you know, to make some money. You know, we try to buy our own equipment as much as we can, us and the EMS. So, when I first started doing it, all I cared is if we made $100. You know, just we wanted to give back to the community, and Danny does a lot of legwork to get donations. You know, we have local businesses, and I'm sure he'll probably name them off or if he wants to, but, you know, we have a lot of support in the village of Plain, and it's very nice, and the surrounding areas, but our village they really appreciate what we do, and we appreciate that. So it's very nice.
Do you have something, John, kind of on the horizon you've got your eye on, like a new piece of equipment or something like that, that you'd like to have?
So we do have a new engine coming next spring, and we've put some money into some of the upfits of that truck. You know, we have a UTV fairly new that we paid for out of our celebration, or out of our, I guess, all of our extra donations and, you know, the monies we made off of our celebration. And we do a breakfast in the fall, too. So, but yeah, I mean, to get this new truck upfitted would be kind of the big goal coming up here. The fire district helped us out for the majority of it, but we try to show that we can, you know, lean on us a little bit too with some things. So that's what's on the horizon.
Danny, you have some sponsors you'd like to thank?
Yeah. Well, Kramer Brothers, Royal Bank, Milestone Materials, Straka Meats, Kramer North America, People's Community Bank, Plain Quick Stop, Whitman Farms LLC, and Kyle Hemmersbach Trucking Inc. They all step up and they write us a very generous check, which mainly it helps offset a lot of the initial cost of this. And then it makes the weekend start out that we can see daylight as far as making a profit. And all the businesses in town step up and do something anyhow, but it's just these are the ones that kind of go above and beyond.
So when you go out and you're soliciting, you need some sponsorship, it sounds like you've had good response.
Yeah, everyone's willing to pitch in, and it, you know, it's not like I have to stand there and twist their arm very long. They just, okay, this is what it's for, so yeah, it goes well.
And as you mentioned, initially you have some bills to pay. You know, it's one thing after the weekend, the proceeds, but you got to pay a few things beforehand too, don't you?
Yeah, there's some of these checks go out almost a year ahead of time to really get stuff booked in, and you have to pay some money up front, and it's just nice having this other money come in soon.
Sure.
I know it's a busy weekend. You'll probably sleep well next Sunday night, right?
Hopefully.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules. You both had your work trucks in here today, so I know you got to get back to work. But thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. John Rulin joining us, and Danny Herfel as well, representing Plane, Fire, and EMS. The three-day celebration is this coming weekend.
We're here today with Katrina Shanklin, who is currently a representative on the State Assembly, but she is this time running for the third congressional seat in the state. And so you are up against two other candidates in the Democratic Party, and then all three of you are vying to go in head-to-head with Derek Van Orden. How is your campaign going? You've been in Richland Center quite often lately.
Thanks. I've been really enjoying coming back here. It's a beautiful area, and it's wonderful to see people I met previously and then also meet new ones. We were just at Kelly's and had a great coffee. I have been really enjoying getting all across the 3rd Congressional District. It's a huge district, 19 counties that covers western and central Wisconsin. And so I have been all over every single week trying to get to not only new places I haven't been yet, but come back repeatedly to other larger areas like Richland Center. And by larger, this is such a rural district that Richland Center is one of the larger cities. And I think that really speaks to the need to have somebody who understands rural communities. I grew up in a small town of 1,000, and I represent a pretty rural district in central Wisconsin. And now I'm running for Congress because I want to ensure that we have a strong voice in Congress who is really focused on delivering common sense solutions and results for western and central Wisconsin.
So around here, you know, a lot of our issues are school funding. We've had schools go to referendum. One school district recently passed a referendum. Another school failed. We've got another school that's going to referendum in August. We have another school that failed in this last fall, and they're going to go to referendum again in April. And it's like referendum after referendum after referendum. How do you see an improvement for education so that schools aren't always having to go to referendum?
Thank you so much for this great question. I am actually about to release a new TV ad specifically on public education. And in it, I talk about two things. Funding our public education so we don't have to over-rely on property taxes, which is what those referenda are for, to raise the levy, which increases property taxes, as well as supporting teachers with raising teacher pay. And here's how we can do it. So here in Wisconsin, we have shared revenue on the state level that goes to local communities. A lot of local communities are actually going to referendum on police, fire, and EMS, and shared revenue was going to help that, and it did to an extent, but I think we need even more shared revenue on that level so that we can hold the line on property taxes. But as it relates to school districts and holding the line on property taxes, we need more state and federal support. And so one of my ideas that I have is a new program on the federal level to reward states that invest in their public schools and invest less in those private voucher schools that are really taking directly from the pot of taxpayer money in our local public school district. And then another program to raise teacher pay. So providing that support directly from the federal government and sending it to states that will then deliver it to their local school districts. So that way we're not, as property taxpayers, homeowners and renters alike, being given the bill every year, 2 years, 3 years. There's lots of rural school districts especially that are really struggling and looking at consolidation. And that's a concern for me as somebody who did grow up in a very geographically huge small school district, Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, where, you know, a lot of kids had to ride the bus for at least a half hour. And that was years and years ago. Now I'm hearing, especially as I travel across the third, there's a lot of people who are looking at an hour or more as sparsely populated areas are looking at, you know, shutting down some of their schools and consolidating with others. So we can do more for public education. It's the cornerstone of every community. And I believe that we need an all of government approach, working with local, state, and federal leaders. So in Congress, that's what I'll do to raise teacher pay and invest in our public schools so we don't have to raise our property taxes.
Do you see some of that trickling down then into child care facilities? Richland County actually is a child care desert. And, you know, and if you don't have childcare, then you can't go to work, which deteriorates then your job markets. And those kids are eventually going to be going into school too, you know, so it's kind of a all in one thing, you know, one umbrella that how do we take care of our kids of today?
I could not agree with you more. And when I talk about education, I not only bring up K-12 public schools and pre-K and child care, but also higher education, technical colleges and universities, because it is making sure that they have the best possible future. And our child care providers are skilled in early childhood education, and they're really preparing our kids with those soft skills, understanding how to regulate their feelings and describe them instead of not using their words, right? And emotional management, in addition to all the other kind of hard skills like saying please and thank you and washing your hands and tying your shoes, right? And I think that's really important because when it comes to child care and child care deserts in Wisconsin, we have a lot of work to do. There was a program on the state level called Child Care Counts, and that is going to expire in about a year's time. And, you know, 40% of child care providers would have had to either raise tuition, raise costs on working families, or close their doors altogether without that program. So we need our state lawmakers to listen to the calls from child care providers to reauthorize that program. But I also know there are federal child tax credits that are important to making child care more affordable, but we can do even more to make child care as accessible as possible by supporting our child care providers. As you said, if you don't even have child care in your community to the extent that it becomes a desert, you're actually opting, in some cases, opting out of the workforce or maybe not working the same number of hours you want or even maybe not taking a promotion you're eligible for because you don't have that child care. So this is an economic issue and a workforce issue too.
Well, another economic issue, and you brought it up, is higher education. Richland was the first campus to close in the UW system. And it's not even UW system schools that are continuing to close. There's private colleges, and that affects the community that that college is in, and their revenue decreases. Richland County's revenue has dropped tremendously since the campus has closed. How do you see being able to help those communities that are suffering in that way?
Absolutely. I think first and foremost, it's important to recognize that there was never a vote of the state legislature or governor to close these campuses down. And that's a problem. I was very concerned when the 2 and 4 year campuses were merged years ago and said, this is going to lead to the closures. And I've been speaking out as a state lawmaker who serves on the Colleges and Universities Committee about the way that these smaller campuses, especially 2 year campuses, fulfill so many needs of area high school students who are looking at higher education but aren't quite sure which 4 year they'd like to go to. And those 2 year campuses are a great access point that are incredibly affordable and have amazing educators. I personally went to a 2 year campus, UW-Marathon County in Wausau, before heading on to a 4 year campus. And I think that my experience was instrumental in helping me and shaping my skill set and my education. And I am lamenting for Richland Center area folks who no longer have that option, and also am very frustrated that the economic impact, the hit to the community, isn't just a one-time thing like some state lawmakers might have implied. It's forever. It's generational, potentially. It's the same as a manufacturing facility shutting down and leaving the state or country. It has a massive impact on your future workforce, your community members. Some have moved away altogether, I've heard. And that really concerns me because communities like Richland Center are special places where they deserve investment too. We were at a forum in Muscadet as a lawmaker. I attended and spoke at a forum on the future of higher education, and former Senator Dale Schultz said there, I'll never forget his words, rural people deserve nice things too. I've said it so many times since. He's 100% right. Your zip code, living in a rural area, shouldn't prevent you from having the same things that everyone else has: access to childcare, clean water, broadband, a good job that pays well, healthcare. And when it comes to higher education, a technical college or local 2 or 4 year campus as well. And so for this area and all of Western Wisconsin, I want to be a champion on this issue. And I think on the federal level, we need to look at access points, not only for higher education, but I had a listening center in Richland Center a couple months ago, And we talked about healthcare access points too. That's another one where, you know, providers' doors are closing, and the federal government has a lot to do with that related to reimbursement rates, as well as the state government and Medicaid. So I want to work on those issues because, as Dale Schultz says, rural people deserve nice things too, and we have to make it happen.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
To greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
News Time today is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice. And by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today's forecast calls for a high in the upper 70s. Looks like some sun developing as the day goes on and less humid. Mainly clear tonight and scattered fog with a low of 55. This morning, we're at our overnight low. It is 64 degrees. Transform your outdoor spaces with Bailey Paint and Decorating. Benjamin Moore Woodlux Stains. With over 3,500 colors, you can achieve the perfect look for any project. From translucent to ultra-flat solid stains, Woodlux by Benjamin Moore enhances the natural beauty of your wood, providing one coat coverage with minimal lap marks. Benjamin Moore Woodlux protects against UV rays, frost, and mildew, ensuring your wood stays beautiful year-round. Visit Bailey Paint and Decorating today in Richland Center and discover the Woodlux difference. Bailey Paint and Decorating, your local experts in quality and color. From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. All eyes will be in Wisconsin between now and November. In West Allis yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris was on the presidential campaign trail in must-win Wisconsin. Harris told an enthusiastic crowd that the path to the White House goes through Wisconsin and that she'll need the support of Milwaukee area voters in order to carry the state in which Joe Biden won by some 20,000 votes in 2020. Harris continues to roll up Democratic delegates, including most from Wisconsin, leading up to next month's Democratic National Convention in Chicago. So far, no other potential candidate has stepped forward to challenge her for the party's nomination. In northeast Wisconsin, a court hearing for the mother of missing toddler Elijah Vu has been pushed back again. Records on Wisconsin Circuit Court access show that the lawyer for 31-year-old Katrina Bauer asked in a letter on Monday for a Manitowoc County judge for another adjournment in the case. The case has now been set for scheduling conference on August 5th. Bauer faces charges of chronic child neglect for incidents that happened before Elijah Vu disappeared from a Two Rivers apartment back in February. Elijah's caretaker and Bauer's boyfriend, Jesse Vang, also faces charges of chronic child neglect after Bauer brought the toddler over to Vang's apartment for disciplinary reasons. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the DMV revoked the licenses of Columbia County auto dealers A1 Alpha Motors, Signature Auto Group, and VIP Autos for rolling back odometers on vehicles sold to customers, falsifying title documents when selling vehicles, and selling vehicles directly to retail customers. The DMV determined through an investigation that all three dealers had violated state law, and the department immediately revoked each license. People can file a complaint against a dealer by visiting the DMV website. It marks the first time a person of color has been honored with a statue at the Capitol. Vel Phillips broke a long list of barriers as the first black woman to graduate from UW-Madison Law School, to win a seat on the Milwaukee City Council, and to become a judge in Wisconsin. She was the first woman and black person elected to statewide office, serving as Secretary of State from 1979 through 1983. Her statue joined statues of the Little Rock Nine outside the Arkansas Capitol Building, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. at the Georgia State Capitol, and Rosa Parks inside the U.S. Capitol, as other statues of black leaders at capitals. A Wisconsin man is charged with fleeing the country to avoid prison time.
Federal authorities allege Paul Kovacic fled to Ireland to avoid a sentence for joining a mob of supporters of former President Trump in the attack. Kovacic is charged with defying a court order to surrender and serve 3 months for participating in the January 6, 2021 riot. He was arrested last month after he voluntarily returned to the U.S. and is currently serving his sentence. A conviction on the new charge could lead to more prison time. Kovacic called himself a political prisoner when investigators questioned him after his arrest last month at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The summer's flooding on the Mississippi River set records, according to the National Weather Service in La Crosse. While the river crest did not break any records, the amount of time that the river has been above certain levels has broken flooding marks that were set back in 1993. In fact, the 2024 flooding broke 17 of the 32 daily flood records set in 1993. The NWS said that the unofficial crest of this year's flooding was 14.94 feet, set on July 2nd. The highest ever June and July crests were also set this year. Three cows died when a semi-trailer they were in tipped over in southwest Wisconsin. The crash happened in a roundabout south of Lancaster. The Grand County Sheriff's Office said the driver of the truck, who was from Iowa, missed the curve, went over the center divider, and hit a road sign. The semi then rolled onto the driver's side and slid before it hit another sign and came to a stop. The driver suffered minor injuries. The semi was hauling over five dozen cattle at the time of the crash. The Walk with Grace calendar raffle committee is asking all teams with raffle tickets not being sold to return them to the Grace office so teams waiting for tickets can pick them up. The Grace office is open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 until 1. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is settling with a company over air pollution at a northeastern Wisconsin plant. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced Monday that Cary Incorporated is required to pay $85,000 to resolve a violation of Wisconsin's air laws related to its operations of the Cary Red Arrow liquid smoke manufacturing facility in Manitowoc. The state alleged that Cary Incorporated violated multiple requirements of its air operation permit, including that the company did not observe the master, the air emissions, did not test carbon monoxide concentrations, and did not operate air pollution control equipment. The DOJ also worked with the Wisconsin DNR to obtain the results. The Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Committee on Finance approved the proposed resolution on July 9th. Things are about back to normal at Wisconsin airports. Last week's catastrophic technology outage caused by a faulty software update stranded tens of thousands of passengers. Delta and its Delta Connection partners canceled hundreds of flights on Tuesday, about two-thirds of all cancellations in the U.S., according to Flight Aware. Milwaukee Mitchell Airport reported only a handful of Delta delays. Austin Struble in Green Bay and Appleton International reported none. Federal airline regulators are investigating how Delta is treating passengers affected by canceled and delayed flights.
Ellie here at Chet's Feed Seed & Such. Keep your house dry from wet paws with our Dirty Dog Chamois and Dirty Dog Doormats. With all this rain to keep things green, now is the perfect time to lay down your grass seeds. We have many seed options to keep your lawn happy, as well as seeding mulch, straw, and fertilizers. Treat your furry friends with our large selection of toys and tasty snacks. Kick pesky mosquitoes to the curb with our Spartan mosquito traps this summer. We appreciate all of our friends down here at Chet's, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop by today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 647-8833.
A high of 77 today with some sun developing. Clear tonight and scattered fog, and a high of 80 tomorrow. Yesterday, right around an inch of rain, we had a high of 79. And currently with cloudy skies and no precipitation this morning, we are at our overnight low of 64 degrees.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
The Richland Cattle Center would like to thank its many sellers and buyers for their continued support. Today's sale at the Richland Cattle Center at Ithaca gets underway at 11:30. Today's auction will include a quality run of recently fresh cows and two-year-old heifers, milking and bred cows, open heifers of all ages, and a breeding age bull. For up-to-date listings, visit stadieauction.com, and don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sale at Ithaca every Wednesday morning, including today at 11:30.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing, and by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, some notes on the local and area scene, some scores, and a Brewer win last night to recap. We'll do that in a moment.
One in every five Americans suffers from mental illness, and those numbers are even higher for minority populations. July is National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and the Richland Hospital and Clinics encourages you to start a conversation about mental health. Why? Because stigmas around mental health prevent many people from receiving treatment. Talking about your mental health journey can open doors to support and remind others that they are not alone.
I'm Phil Nee with sports in summer baseball. Yesterday, the Ithaca summer baseball team defeated Richland Center 10-0. There was Church League softball last night at Kroska Park. Church of the Nazarene made it 10 in a row, shutting out Boscobel Assembly of God 16-0. The Mission holds on to second place, topping Free Methodist 21-4. St. Mary's outscored Richland Baptist Temple 2, 17-13. And Richland Baptist Temple 1 handled Bethel Lutheran 22-4. There will be makeup games coming up on Thursday night for Church League softball at Kroska Park. And at Quail Run, men's golf action last night, the top scorer, Keith Lang, had a big night, 33, including birdies on hole 1, 2, and 6, a 39 for Neil Mahoney, who was second. Brewers second baseman Bryce Tarang drove in the winning run, the only run, in a 1-0 decision over the Cubs last night. It was a classic pitcher's duel, with most of the scoreless innings provided by Colin Ray of Milwaukee and Jameson Taillon of the Chicago Cubs. The rivalry game was delayed 85 minutes by rain. Elvis Peguero earned the win in relief for the Brewers last night. Overall manager Pat Murphy feels the team could have played better.
Little things we didn't do right offensively. We didn't execute the way we could have. There was a little bit of a force it. You know, young players, sometimes you got to take it out of their hands and just tell them what to do. But they're learning as they go, but we didn't execute the way we could have. And it's a bunch of teaching moments.
Elsewhere in the National League yesterday, San Diego 4-0 over Washington, St. Louis 2-1 over Pittsburgh, the Dodgers 5, San Francisco 2, Cincinnati at Atlanta postponed. In the American League, Cleveland 5, Detroit 4, Tampa Bay 4-2 over Toronto, Texas 3, the White Sox 2, Angels 5-1 over Seattle, and Oakland 8-2 over Houston. Interleague play, Miami 6-3 over Baltimore, the Mets 3-2 over the Yankees, Philadelphia 3-0 over Minnesota, Arizona 6, Kansas City 2, and Boston, a winner against Colorado, 6-0 the final score. Granted, the starting quarterback was not on the field, but the Packers' defense walked off to the locker room yesterday, while the offense did push-ups. Edge rusher Rashawn Gary sacked the quarterback three times in four plays, and safeties Anthony Johnson Jr. and Evan Williams batted down some passes and picked off others. Green Bay ranked just 23rd out of 30 teams last season in pass defense and was next to last in interceptions. That means there's still a lot of work to be done before the season opener in Brazil, coming up in early September. 15 minutes in the spotlight by Badgers coach Luke Fickell is being called a filibuster. Fickell spoke so long at Big Ten Media Days that there was time for only one reporter question. On the other hand, the same reporters give the Wisconsin head man credit for his straight talk about the roster. His evaluation of some of his important players and what he wants to see when the team returns for training camp. For the record, he wants to see leadership. Big Ten Media Days for the 18 conference football teams will continue through Thursday. I'm Phil Nee with an update on Wednesday morning sports.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Let an LS Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done.
I'm on Medicare. I went to the doctor and I got my bill and it said I owed $240. My Medicare had always been, my portion was $200. And when I went and they said, no, it went up to $240. I don't remember getting any letter about it going up. You know, there needs to be more, it needs to be more transparent.
Thank you for sharing that. And I agree completely. One of the conversations I had recently on the trail, somebody brought up surprise medical bills and hidden healthcare costs. And there was a provision in the Affordable Care Act that was supposed to have hospitals actually listing all the different costs so people have transparency. I think we need a little bit stronger laws related to that because it's still not working out in terms of transparency as it was intended to. But in addition to that, we need accountability and transparency in all medical billing and in pricing. And I think that means, you know, when it comes to health insurance companies and the middleman, in addition to providers, we need to ensure that our federal programs like Medicaid and Medicare are not only holding the line on those rising costs, but that we're fairly funding the providers too, so their doors stay open. So I appreciate you sharing that.
What really gets me too is as you get older, it's harder because you got to watch all these hoops. You're more of your own advocate when you're younger and you have a job. For the most part, you're covered under your employer. And now, as you're getting older and more forgetful, let's face it, you know, not everybody, but I'll put myself in that place of, and you got to be your own advocate, and you don't understand all these things. There's got to be a way to make it easier so that as you age, you're not worried about, did you make the right decision? And then find out later that you don't have the right insurance for what you need.
That's such a great point. And insurance is already very difficult to navigate. We shouldn't be making it any harder. And, you know, when it comes to surprise medical bills or just helping people navigate from a consumer protection point, their bills, I've handled a lot of those, what we call constituent cases on the state level. A lot of people aren't aware that you can call your state lawmaker's office and say, hey, I have a problem with this medical bill. Can you help me either contact this healthcare provider directly or in some cases file a complaint with the Office of Commissioner of Insurance if it's related to insurance? And we've helped a lot of different constituents with that because it has been so difficult. And, you know, no one's going to have all the answers to making it easier, but we need a task force to help with not only consumer protection, but transparency as it relates to healthcare costs. And one of the things I talk about a lot on the campaign trail is the rising costs of healthcare and prescription medicine and how we need to tackle those issues. And I'm really proud that in the legislature, we've been able to get some things done on that, specifically cracking down on pharmacy benefit managers, the middleman between insurance companies and pharmacies. There used to be what's called a gag clause, so that if you were going to the pharmacy with your prescription and picking up a drug and it wasn't generic and there wasn't a more affordable price, a pharmacist could actually not tell you. They were gagged from saying, hey, there's actually a similar equivalent for you that would be $50 or $500 less. And now they can. And so we need to eliminate some of that, all of that red tape, and just help consumers not only with lower costs, but having that transparency and accountability.
You know, as we've talked about school, which is the younger generation. We've talked about Medicare, which is the older generation. And we've talked about higher education, the middle generation. That is one thing about politics. You have to cover all generations and all genres, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think what I enjoy most about politics is the opportunity to meet people where they're at and hear from them. Today at Kelly's, I heard from a number of parents who wanted to talk about their kids or their loved ones, and really talk about issues really important to them, whether it was healthcare or quality. And I found that really moving. I remember people's stories. And when I see a bill that I want to put my name on because of a constituent that I met, it really shows that you have a lot of power when you share your stories with elected officials. And on the campaign trail, you have a lot of power when you see candidates come to town and speak, and you can ask lots of questions. We had a great conversation today about ending Citizens United, getting big corporate money out of politics so voters have the power. And what I'm telling everyone in the 3rd Congressional District is their voice matters. We're in the number one swing district and the number one swing state, and we have so much power to not only decide, you know, what the makeup of the House looks like, but also it's, you know, a lot of the votes for both the White House and Senate are going to come for Wisconsin, I should say, are going to come through the 3rd. It's a perfect swing district in many respects. And I think that the civic participation I've seen not only here, but all over Western and Central Wisconsin is really inspiring to me.
Well, I think people are realizing that even though all they get is one vote, that one vote is very important and they have a voice.
Absolutely. Well said. People understand that when they vote, they can shape their future. You know, the policies, whether it's the local level, what garbage removal and snow removal and infrastructure, or whether it's state level, like public education and water quality, or whether it's federal level, like Social Security and Medicare and the Farm Bill, your vote really determines what's going to happen. And people want elected officials who show up and listen and lead on the issues that matter to them. And that's why I'm here. My number one goal in this campaign is to listen to voters and really respond to their needs and interests and hopefully get elected to become their champion in Congress.
Well, some of the other topics, and you've brought them up, is infrastructure. And coming in, you rode down drove down Highway 14, which is a U.S. highway, and it's in terrible shape. I mean, you probably realized, you probably felt like you were on a railroad track.
You know, I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, infrastructure is important, and road funding is definitely an issue. In my time in the legislature, we've had a lot of disagreement about how to fund our roads. Voters are I would say divided isn't the word, but they have many different ideas about how to sustainably and fairly fund roads, right? And I think because of that, because of the differences of an opinion, it took a while to find a good kind of thoughtful way forward on getting our roads fixed. But I give Governor Evers a lot of credit. He's gotten a lot done on that over the last few years. But, you know, with tough winters and sometimes there's overuse of certain roads, I think that we can be creative on, you know, how to not only fix our roads, but also do it in a way that benefits rural communities. So one bill that I want to mention that I co-sponsored that I'm really proud of that we got done this session is the Agricultural Road Improvement Program. Several hundred million dollars is being distributed across the state to communities that apply, specifically if a road in their community is a primarily agricultural road, meaning, you know, this is the best place to get your goods to market, or it will save the farmer on a certain number of trips or lower the weight of things. And so I think that that's incredible. It's the first time we sent money specifically to agricultural roads. And I think that's a great idea to bring to Congress as well.
How do you see the dollars coming for funding? More funding for infrastructure.
More funding for infrastructure. So there are two bills that Congress passed last session, the bipartisan infrastructure law and then the Inflation Reduction Act that I think are both really important for infrastructure. Bipartisan infrastructure law brought a lot of money in for water, including sewer infrastructure, for example, utility, water utility infrastructure and clean drinking water. So there are places in the third with PFAS contamination that are getting some of that money now because of that. And I think that's really helpful because I believe everyone deserves to drink water from their taps. The Inflation Reduction Act brought even more money in for infrastructure, including EV car charging infrastructure. Our state just got $78 million after we passed a bipartisan bill to leverage that federal funding. And that will help some folks, but we also have to focus on, you know, road funding and broadband too. And so I, as a lawmaker who is kind of seen behind the curtain of, you know, how these funding fights for infrastructure can be, I know that, you know, there's sometimes a rural versus urban divide among politicians. It might not be Democrat versus Republican. It might be, you know, what kind of community you represent. I, as a member of Congress, should I get there, would be very focused on making sure that when we pass big infrastructure bills, they actually come back home to us and that we're getting them in the tiniest, those dollars for roads and for water quality in those tiniest towns and villages and not just the largest cities.
Now, you know, it seems one of the things that seem to be a constant battle in Washington is the Farm Bill. How do you feel about the Farm Bill?
Yeah, the Farm Bill is incredibly important. I think it's one of the most important votes that members of Congress take because for farmers, it is crucial for their economic security and for them getting their crops to market and harvesting, and for dairy farmers, of course, and their exports. And it's also important for food security. So there's been a coalition for decades of Democrats and Republicans who vote for the Farm Bill because it doesn't just support farmers, but it also feeds families and seniors. And that coalition broke this year. The Farm Bill's almost a full year late. The deadline was last September 30th. The Congress extended it to this September 30th, and it passed the House. And I criticized Eric Van Orden for two things. One, the SNAP benefits, the food share that helps people afford, you know, food to put on the table, didn't keep up with inflation over the next 5 years. So you'll get the same amount of money, but less food as a result. And that $28 billion was really important to a lot of people. But it wasn't just the cuts, it's that it broke the coalition. So Senate Democrats have already said we're not passing that version of the bill. And so what I'm worried about is the Farm Bill not getting done at all. And what does that mean? More uncertainty for farmers at a time, you know, input costs are difficult and they need to ensure that they have the security of, you know, not only pricing, but what if there will be a Farm Bill, what that looks like. And so in addition to that, he had, there's a really important program called the Dairy Innovation Grant. And Derek Van Orden introduced an amendment after his own party had gutted the bill or the grant by 40%. On the Agriculture Committee, he introduced the amendment, but he didn't call for a vote. So it was kind of symbolic. He said, well, I would like this, but he has the majority in his caucus and he withdrew it, which means they never took a vote on it and he could have passed that. So I know, you know, I talked to him about this in person when I saw him in my assembly district, that I was disappointed on that because when it comes to getting things done, we need members of Congress who are going to usher, you know, the bill through every single step. It isn't just about getting it through the House. We need to make sure it goes through the Senate and on to the president. And as a lawmaker who's done that, who I've sat down with members of the Senate Republican caucus to negotiate on a PFAS bill as one example, that I don't view my job as just going and voting on a bill and then calling it a day or introducing an amendment but not getting a vote on it. I view it as ushering every part of the policy that I want done through the legislative process until it's signed into law, and then afterwards, as it's implemented, making sure my constituents get the benefits from that law. And so when it comes to the Farm Bill, A, we need it immediately, and B, it needs to be fair. It needs to support working families and seniors with food security. It also needs to center farmers and ensure that they have everything they need to be successful.
You know, we've covered several topics that are important for Southwest Wisconsin. We're an agricultural community. We're an elderly community in Richland Center, yet we are getting younger families in, so education is important. And The RNC just finished up, and we all saw that went. But the DNC is coming up. What do you hope people get out of the DNC?
That's a great question. And as I've been traveling on the trail, I have to say I haven't thought that much about the DNC yet. But here's what I'll say. I hope that people see a contrast. I think in any election, there should be, you know, every candidate has to say, here's what I stand for and why me? You know, if you ask a voter for their vote, you have to be able to answer why you. And so I hope that that's articulated very clearly, and a vision for our future is important. My two issues that I've been talking about the most on the trail are democracy and freedom, because everything else follows. If you have a healthy democracy where your vote is counted and there's trust in that election and people aren't working to undermine that election or overturn it, that's important and key to civic participation and engagement.
Well, I thank you, Katrina, for coming in today and taking the time to talk with us about these important issues that are facing Richland County and the surrounding area.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And if people have more questions and would like to chat or ask me anything, you can go to KatrinaShankland for Congress.com.
All right. Well, you take care and safe travels.
Thank you.
WRCO-FM, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Our update on the news is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet, the car and truck people of Southwest Wisconsin.